Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. 2 years ago, we had a legislator from Iowa on this program to talk about his courageous battle to protect the innocent. Now, in Iowa, there is a bill that intends to define murder. And the amazing thing about the bill is that it states that this is without regard to the age of the person from the moment of conception. So to get an update on this, let's go to the phones and Representative Tom Shaw. Representative, welcome back to Bob Enyart Live.
Well, thank you, Bob. It's a pleasure to be on your show again.
Well, and it's an honor to have you on. Thank you very much for your courageous fight, Representative Shaw. So could you give us first an update about Iowa politics? Our dear friend Steve Dace formerly had been on the air in Afternoon Drive in Des Moines' number one station. He had the number one talk show in Iowa. Now Steve has a nationally syndicated show. It's an evening show. And so has that changed the dynamics of Iowa politics any?
It has some, because Steve naturally needs to focus on more nationwide type news.
Right.
And has taken away some of the focus on the local news, but we're finding other venues to get our word out, to get our message out. And I just want to say it's working.
Well, I'm excited to hear about that, Tom Shaw. Could you tell us about this bill? And I have it here. I've read through it, and it defines murder. So please tell us about your bill.
2 years ago, we started with we wanted to do a constitutional amendment. But in Iowa, it's very hard to amend our Constitution. We don't have a way for the citizens to apply for an amendment, just a long, lengthy process.
Mm-hmm.
So this last fall, another legislator, Jason Schultz, called me. He says, "Are we making this too difficult?" And he says, if we want to call it murder, why aren't we just defining a person and putting it in our murder statute and defining the person?
Well, that's great. Yeah.
And I just thought, you know, that's perfect. This just simplifies everything, because we stop arguing about abortion and the whole focus is on who is a person.
Wow.
So that's... when anyone has any questions towards us, the war on women, are you doing this? Are you doing that? No, it's a simple response. We are only defining who a person is.
Yes, and so this is Representative Schultz, is that right?
Yes, Jason Schultz.
Jason Schultz. So I so appreciate his thinking through this. There are many different ways to approach protecting the child in the womb from being killed by, let's say, the Planned Parenthood abortionist. And so in Iowa now, it's the murder definition. But could I ask you this before we look at your bill in particular? 2 years ago, when you made an effort to protect unborn children, who was the opposition that you faced? Just maybe a quick update on that and then to your bill.
Well, we faced opposition, obviously, from the Democrat caucus, who just want to kill babies, period.
Mm-hmm.
And we also faced some opposition from some of the pro-family groups and some of the right-to-life groups here in Iowa. They want to focus on the incremental approach. They were trying to push a fetal pain bill. I came out, myself and two other now former legislators opposed that and voted against it, and that caused a big stir. And I think it's because of that big stir and bringing this issue to light about personhood that has started to change hearts and minds here in the state of Iowa.
Mm. Do you have a group there, I think, called the Iowa Family Policy Center?
They've been renamed the Family Leader.
The Family Leader. Do you recall if they were supportive 2 years ago, and what's their position today?
They were undecided on that bill. They registered undecided. This year, they are coming out in favor of my bill.
Well, that's very encouraging. We have seen something similar here in Colorado, Tom. And let me ask you if you've ever heard of such a thing. In Colorado, the last couple of years, we've introduced the Colorado Right to Life Fetal Homicide Bill, which is a principled bill that has no exceptions, but it's not an abortion ban. It's a secondary type of punishment with a crime against a pregnant woman. And so Planned Parenthood last year testified that they're against fetal homicide legislation in under any terms. Well, they've changed their position. And now this year, even though the Democratic bill that they are supporting is corrupt, and of course it affirms abortion, they've now changed their position, and Planned Parenthood has actually come out in support of a fetal homicide bill here in Colorado that's currently in our legislature. It just passed, I think it was a House committee. And so what we think is happening is the focus on the baby from the personhood movement is forcing even the pro-aborts to reevaluate their position and try to keep ground, whereas I think they sense that they're losing ground.
I would agree that there's that sense there. 2 years ago, for the first time on the House floor, I spoke out in favor of personhood and explained personhood and how we have a constitutional duty as an elected official to defend each and every innocent life.
Mm.
And it was my understanding from former legislators that's the first time personhood was ever even discussed in our House floor.
Mm-hmm.
It got news coverage around the state. I have a freshman legislator, just got elected, that shared a story with me the other day that she saw some news coverage, and it was because she came to the realization that was a person inside of her that actually changed her mind from having an abortion.
Mm.
So we not only used the law to teach, we used the process of making the law to teach.
Wow. Well, that is, I think you're right. I think what we're seeing here is real. The reason I asked about what is now called the family leader is because this is a very good sign that the pro-life movement itself is realizing that we need to try to win the battle, not just perpetually try to reduce abortion, but we need to have victory in sight and fight to protect every child.
Well, I think it's a victory in the fact that we have competing personhood bills. So,
well, that is
come a
thrill.
Long way.
Yeah, so, okay, so how about your bill? I have it in front of me. Can we share with the audience what your bill states?
Absolutely. I've turned that in. I'm kind of surprised it didn't come out today, but it's just the only thing waiting on it is to have a bill number assigned to it and to be read in for the first time.
Yes, I have it as a draft bill with the Iowa House. Your representative, District 10. So it has a section 707.1, murder defined. So we have 707.1, murder defined. A person who kills another person with malice aforethought, either express or implied, commits murder. And then section 2, person, when referring to the victim of a murder, means an individual human being without regard to age of development from the moment of conception when a zygote is formed until natural death. That's tremendous.
Yes, that very first murder definition is what the current code is. All we did, we simply added the second sentence there defining who a person is.
Because what the pro-aborts did back in the 1960s is they redefined conception. Conception used to be when an ovum and a sperm come together, that was the moment of conception. Well, they wanted to sell chemical abortifacients that might stop that brand new little boy or girl from implanting in the mother's womb. And so they redefined conception to mean implantation. That was a great deception. That's the entire abortion industry and the pharmaceutical industry lying to women. That's what that was.
Right. And that's why we made sure those words, when the zygote is formed,
which
makes it very clear.
Yes, because not only are you making it clear that it's at fertilization, but you're recovering the word. The The word conception is our word. It's not their word.
Right.
They've robbed us of that beautiful word, conception. I think it has a Latin root. It's just such a beautiful word. And so we have to talk about fertilization, which sounds like we're farmers or sheep herders or something. And so for your definition, a person, an individual human being without regard to the age of development from the moment of conception when a zygote is formed until natural death. And of course, a zygote is, I think I could remember from my biology days, but a zygote, when a sperm and an ovum come together, they form, what is it called? The diploid cell. I think
that happens within 3 or 4 days, but the very beginning of life is the formation of the zygote.
The zygote, that's exactly right. So, yeah, and that zygote, that one cell that was previously, there were two cells, but it wasn't a human being. These were, I think they're called haploid cells, when they only have half the genetic content. They have 23 chromosomes each, and that's a haploid cell. They come together, and you have now one ovum that is fertilized, and that's, I think, a diploid cell, and that is called a zygote. So the science behind your definition is perfectly up to date.
Yes. And again, I want to get back to, there was a lot of concerns with former bills about who would be charged, what would they be charged with. This puts it all into, in Iowa, it's the county attorneys. We have county attorneys that serve as the prosecutors.
Mm.
This puts it in the hands of the county attorneys just like any other murder investigation.
And
a person is a person.
Yeah, and I think that's brilliant also, because just imagine when there were Christians trying to stop slavery in England and here in America, if they would have had to deal with punishment in addition to getting freedom and justice for black people, we might still have slaves to this very day. So first you fight.
The county attorney is an elected official here in Iowa.
Yeah.
If the county attorney is not doing their job, the voters can vote that county attorney out and get one in that will do the job. Mm.
Yeah, well, that is a great point. And so first you fight for fundamental justice, and then you sort out the details.
And this is all in keeping with Roe v. Wade and Justice Blackmun. You know, if the state defines that life in the womb as a person, then of course all the protections of the 14th Amendment apply.
Wow.
So we don't even have to worry about court challenges because, as far as I'm concerned, we're doing what the Supreme Court told us to do.
Well, that's Harry Blackmun, who was a Republican Supreme Court justice. He wrote Roe v. Wade, and he did say that if personhood for the fetus is established, then, of course, the case for abortion collapses.
Right.
That was his word, collapses, because
right.
you can't just kill another person because they're inconvenient.
Right. This is equal protection under the law. This is equal justice.
Amen.
You know, who can argue against equal protection?
All right. Representative Tom Shaw, it's an honor to have you back on. Maybe I hope it's sooner than 2 years and we'll have you on again.
Well, let's do that.
Okay. God bless you, Representative.
Thank you, Bob.
Okay. You're very welcome. That is so great to hear from Tom Shaw. Now, I don't know that we have time for testimony. You think we have time? Can we hit this real quick? We might have to cut it off, but we're going to go now to the state capitol in Colorado on Thursday, the Thursday just passed, testimony for an abortion ban right here from two dear friends of Bob and Yurt Live. Let's hit it.
Good afternoon. You can tell us your name and if you're here representing anyone.
Okay, my name is Nancy Anstett. I am from Fort Collins. I am here speaking on behalf of numerous women who have had abortions and don't wish to speak publicly. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. In September of 1974, I moved out here from the Chicago area into the dorm at CSU as a freshman. Bridget quickly became my best friend in that situation on the dorm shortly after Christmas break. She found out she was pregnant from a one-night stand. This was January of 1975, only 2 years after Roe v. Wade. We really didn't know anything about abortion except that it was available. She felt she couldn't tell her parents and she couldn't afford the abortion, so she asked me for a loan. My only hesitation was that I couldn't afford it either. But I gave her the money, thinking I was helping my friend. We never once talked about it afterward. She left CSU and we lost touch. Abortion is a sobering, life-changing, heartbreaking experience. 4 years after that, I paid Dr. Richard Voss for the abortion of my first child. On Tuesday, May 23, 1978, my abortion was done in the basement of his office. Everything else was done upstairs until the actual procedure. I know now they wouldn't have wanted anyone to hear, not the suction machine or the crying. It was excruciating, and I begged him to stop. It was humiliating, and I felt trapped. It was like a rape. The only words Dr. Voss said to me, "Quit crying and don't be such a baby." I hemorrhaged, and it took way too long to recover on the table. I could hear them talking outside the door, and I knew I was taking up space. They were waiting to use the room. I was taking up staff time, so they brought my aunt downstairs to watch me. The first thing she said was, "You look terrible." Abortion is a horrific nightmare, except that it is real. You lie on a table or you ingest chemicals, and when your baby is gone, you realize too late, "My God, what have I done? I killed my own child." My choice was to kill my child in a brutal and sickening surgery. It violated both my body and the instinct to protect my child. It left me empty, hopeless, and alone. Alone with appropriate guilt and unbearable sorrow. But women think, "I chose to have this abortion. How could I be heartbroken now?" And they remain silent. At that time, I didn't know exactly how it was done because, of course, I was not told. I am still thankful for a PBS Frontline documentary that aired back in 1983. PBS showed me the graphic truth on television 30 years ago, and there is only more physical evidence of the truth available today. Women are being sold a lie. Abortion is not a service. It is exploitation. We have a right to know the truth about what is happening to our bodies and what is happening to our babies. It is not simply the brutality of the surgery or the harsh chemicals that makes abortion wrong. It is wrong for two simple reasons. It harms women and kills their children. A tiny, utterly helpless, innocent, and living fellow human being dies in every successful abortion. The goal of abortion is the death of the baby, not a terminated pregnancy. When a baby miraculously survives, it is a failed abortion. There are no circumstances that justify the intentional killing of an innocent child, just as there are no circumstances that justify a mother paying a doctor to kill her newborn or her two-year-old. This is portrayed as a right. The right to speak freely, the right to worship freely, the right to kill my child freely. There have been several things said since I've been sitting here listening, talking about the belief that life begins at birth or the belief that life begins at some other point. It's not a matter of belief. It's a fact. A new life begins at conception. If we back up our own lives one day at a time, there is no other point other than conception that began your life. The question was asked about other medical procedures where a doctor could be charged with a crime. I'm not aware of any other procedures that has as its goal the death of a person. It's been suggested that what we call a human being might not be a human being. And my question would be, if it's not a human being, what is it? I agree with the question earlier about the inconsistency of part of this bill. Abortifacient contraception should not be allowed. If it truly prevents conception, that's one thing. I also agree with your persistence about the responsibilities of the men. But do we support the death penalty for the rapist? Why would we support it for the child who has done nothing? When we talk about difficult circumstances that women face or their child may face, how can we predict what sort of life anyone will have based on their start or based on any point in their life in the future? When we talk about a woman being able to have an abortion for the circumstances mentioned earlier, the death of a husband, to be able to finish school, economic hardship, being unwanted and not cared for, would you support telling that same woman to kill her newborn so she could go to school? To kill her newborn because her husband is now dead? To kill her newborn because her financial situation has changed? This bill is to protect every human life simply because they are a fellow human being with equal value. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Anstett. Are there any questions for the witness? Seeing none, thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you, Madam.
That concludes all the witnesses who have signed up to testify. Is there anyone else in the audience that would care to testify on this bill? Yes, ma'am. Come on forward. If you want to tell us who you are and if you represent anyone, and then we'll have you sign one of the sign-up sheets before you leave.
Thank you very much. My name is Leslie Hanks, and I'm with American Right to Life, and I'm a grandmother of nine. And I want to thank all of you folks for listening to everything you heard today. I know there has been some really tough testimony heard. And in years past, I can recall when people would refer to Hitler's Germany. I can recall a year when a wonderful elderly little German priest was ushered out of the chambers because he dared to bring up the slippery slope. So I know it's not always that we get to say what we really need to say, but anyway, today I just want to say that every life is precious and valuable because we're made in the image and likeness of Almighty God, and it's always wrong to kill a baby. But the main thing I want to bring up today is that because I believe that God's word is true, there is scripture in Hosea that talks about bloodshed follows bloodshed. And we are living in a country where we've had massacre after massacre. We've had two in Colorado. We've had them in Sandy Hook, all over the country. We've taught how many generations that life is cheap, that if you have an inconvenient problem, you kill. So I don't want to belabor it because I know you guys have been very patient today. And again, I thank you for the opportunity, but I really appreciate Representative Humphrey bringing this to you because without the right to life, all other rights are really meaningless. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Ms. Hanks? No questions. Thank you very much. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to testify? Please come forward.
Yeah, I'd like to say something. Excuse me, Madam Chairwoman. This is Bob Inyard. Actually, we're back live in the studio now. And you just heard from Nancy Anstett from Fort Collins and Leslie Hanks, who is now the president of American Right to Life, which is headquartered in Denver, Colorado. And they're two wonderfully eloquent witnesses. And Nancy was exactly right. And her point was made by a number of the pro-lifers, including by Representative Stephen Humphrey himself, when he apologized to those there and the committee, saying that he used abortion ban wording from 2007, which, you know, you read legislation and sometimes it's not clear. It's written in legalese like attorneys speak. And he said there is a loophole in my own bill that would permit chemical abortifacients. And he said, I have an amendment and I would like to introduce this amendment and get it passed so that the bill would be a principled abortion ban. So an abortion ban is a bit different from a personhood amendment. They go at the same problem from different angles. The personhood amendment is probably the cleanest and the most perfect solution. But an abortion ban itself is in no way inherently compromised. It is principled. One way to know whether or not a bill is moral or immoral, a bill that a pro-lifer might introduce, is it when personhood is finally established, that the unborn is recognized as a person, will your pro-life bill, will it be invalidated by personhood? So wait 24 hours, then you kill the baby. That will be invalidated when personhood is the law of the land. It would be like with slavery. Well, you can only purchase a black man as a slave if he's over 5 years of age. Right? If somebody did that and they thought they were doing right, well, that would be invalidated once we recognize that blacks and Jews and children in the womb are all persons with God-given rights, inalienable God-given rights. So kudos to Representative Humphrey and Nancy Anstett and Leslie Hanks. Our website, kgov.com.